The reading this morning is from Daniel chapter 6, and it's the entire chapter. Daniel in the den of lions. It pleased Darius to appoint 120 satraps to rule throughout the kingdom, with three administrators over them, one of whom was Daniel. The satraps were made accountable to them so that the king might not suffer loss. Now, Daniel so distinguished himself among the administrators and the satraps by his exceptional qualities that the king planned to set him over the whole kingdom. At this, the administrators and satraps tried to find grounds for charges against Daniel in his conduct of government affairs, but they were unable to do so. They could find no corruption in him because he was trustworthy and neither corrupt nor negligent. Finally, these men said, "We will never find any basis for charges against this man Daniel unless it has something to do with the law of his God." So these administrators and satraps went as a group to the king and said, "May King Darius live forever." The royal administrators, prefects, satraps, advisors, and governors have all agreed that the king should issue an edict and enforce the decree that anyone who prays to any god or human being during the next 30 days, except to you, your majesty, shall be thrown into the lion's den. Now, your majesty, issue the decree and put it in writing so that it cannot be altered, in accordance with the law of the Medes and Persians, which cannot be repealed." So King Darius put the decree in writing. Now, when Daniel learned that the decree had been published, he went home to his upstairs room where the windows opened toward Jerusalem. Three times a day, he got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to his God, just as he had done before. Then these men went as a group and found Daniel praying and asking God for help. So they went to the king and spoke to him about his royal decree. "Did you not publish a decree that during the next 30 days, anyone who prays to any God or human being except to you, your majesty, would be thrown into the lion's den?" The king answered, "The decree stands in accordance with the law of the Medes and Persians, which cannot be repealed." Then they said to the king, "Daniel, who is one of the exiles from Judah, pays no attention to you, your majesty, or to the decree you put in writing. He still prays three times a day." When the king heard this, he was greatly distressed. He was determined to rescue Daniel and made every effort until sundown to save him. Then the men went as a group to King Darius and said to him, "Remember, your majesty, that according to the law of the Medes and Persians, no decree or edict that the king issues can be changed." So the king gave the order, and they brought Daniel and threw him into the lion's den. The king said to Daniel, "May your God, whom you serve continually, rescue you." A stone was brought and placed over the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet ring and with the rings of his nobles so that Daniel's situation might not be changed. Then the king returned to his palace and spent the night without eating and without any entertainment being brought to him, and he could not sleep. At the first light of dawn, the king got up and hurried to the lion's den. When he came near the den, he called to Daniel in an anguished voice, "Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to rescue you from the lions?" Daniel answered, May the king live forever. My God sent his angel, and he shut the mouth of the lions. They have not hurt me because I was found innocent in his sight, nor have I ever done any wrong before you, your majesty." The king was overjoyed and gave orders to lift Daniel out of the den. And when Daniel was lifted from the den, no wound was found on him because he had trusted in his God. At the king's command, the men who had falsely accused Daniel were brought in and thrown into the lion's den, along with their wives and children. And before they reached the floor of the den, the lions overpowered them and crushed all their bones. Then King Darius wrote to all the nations and the peoples of every language in all the earth, "May you prosper greatly. I issue a decree that in every part of my kingdom, people must fear and reverence the God of Daniel, for he is a living God and he endures forever. His kingdom will not be destroyed, his dominion will never end. He rescues and he saves. He performs signs and wonders in the heavens and on the earth. He has rescued Daniel from the power of the lions. So Daniel prospered during the reign of Darius and the reign of Cyrus the Persian.
Fantastic. Thank you. Wow. What a story. Do you know, earlier this year, we were thinking a lot about this theme of pilgrimage, this lifelong 24/7 constant walk with God, our journey of faith with Him. Are you the sort of person who expects your faith walk with God to be all sweetness and light, gravy, roses, champagne and caviar? If you're a bit more simple and have more basic tastes like me, cereal, cornflakes and tea. Are you the sort of person that expects that faith walk to be always good, always working out in a really comfortable manner, luxurious even? We certainly have that life of blessing, but you expect all of that? Because a lot of Christians do. And the challenge when they do is that when things go a little bit downhill, they can get despondent. They can get quite angry with God. Maybe that's not you. Maybe you're the sort of person who expects your Christian life, your pilgrimage, to have its ups and downs, to be the kind of maybe even a roller coaster of life that we sometimes hear about. Before you answer that question too quickly, just remember how easy it is for any of us to complain at the circumstances we're going through, and how easy it is to transfer that criticism to God. And even if we don't do it in words, maybe in actions, maybe by not talking to Him for a while. Today, we're in the lion's den. And as we go through this, it is an opportunity to recognize that sometimes the seasons of faith are tough and they are painful. But we have a God who is in the business of turning things around. And we've been thinking about that, haven't we, in the last week or so, particularly as we looked in previous chapters of Daniel, thinking about the God who has a kingdom of God that when it is in operation, when it's flowing, often works things out in a countercultural way, a way you wouldn't expect. He turns things upside down. It's a kingdom of God that brings about mighty victories from hopeless situations. It is the kingdom of God where mighty, powerful adversaries are conquered and the meek, the humble, are lifted up. It's the story of Jesus. It's the story of the mighty, powerful Creator, Lord of this world, who gave up His rightful place in glory in heaven and stepped down into this world. And He stepped down as a humble servant in order to lift up the humble. That's the story that we're talking about. God turning things around and so often using His humble servants to achieve His purpose. It's the theme of the Bible. It's the theme of salvation. And it is the theme that is repeated again and again in this book of Daniel. But in the process, the thing I want us to note this morning is that it often is His faithful servants who have to pass through some horrendous circumstances before they come out on the other side. So let's just remind ourselves of some of the things that we've read about and heard about in Daniel, some of the themes that have been repeated again and again, and the reality of the roller coaster ride that that meant for this humble servant, Daniel. In chapter one, which we didn't look at in any detail, Daniel, first of all, finds himself at the high point. He's doing well in Jerusalem, but all of that is lost as he's taken into captivity in Babylon. But he is faithful to his God, and the God rewards him with understanding, gifts of understanding and wisdom. And so he prospers. He comes out of the other side. Chapter two. At this point, Daniel has become one of the advisors. But all of the advisors have been condemned to death because the lead advisors didn't seem to be able to interpret Nebuchadnezzar's dream. Can you imagine? Surely the lowest point of anybody's life, being condemned to death. That was the dream of the mighty empire that had feet of clay that was about to fall. Daniel interpreted it and came out of the other side and was rewarded the roller coaster. Chapter three, the newfound confidence in the God of Daniel that Nebuchadnezzar had come to understand was short-lived. And now he's asking people to bow down to him, and Daniel refuses, and he gets thrown into the fiery furnace. But again, God rescues him. He comes out of the other side. Not even his eyebrows are singed. Chapter four, Nebuchadnezzar. Now we see not so much about Daniel, but we see those things of pride coming before a fall. And Nebuchadnezzar being humbled by God before he comes to his senses and is restored once again. That restoration theme. And the following chapter, chapter five, Belshazzar, the young, arrogant leader who refuses to listen. And for him, the writing was on the wall. And then chapter six that we're looking at today. And once again, we're about to see that God turns the situation around. It looks like it's all doomed, but you know the theme. You've got it by now, haven't you? You know that. What's going to happen? God is going to bring restoration. And it will be the proud, and it will be the who are humbled, and it will be the lowly servant who is exalted once more. Now, for all of us, I believe it is really worthwhile repeating these themes, grasping this theme that comes right through Scripture. That is the theme of salvation. Because sometimes when we are going through it and the enemy is rattling his cage and he is whispering into your ear pessimism and defeat and doom, it is worth remembering God is in the business of turning situations around. It's good to remember God delivers his servants. And he crushes evil. It's what we were thinking about in that Psalm 91 at the very beginning of the service. So let's have a look at this sixth chapter of Daniel. And as we go through it, as we've gone through all of these chapters, we're going through the years. We're also going through the kings. And now we're going through the empires. Nebuchadnezzar's gone. Belshazzar's gone. The Babylonian Empire has gone. Now it's the Medes and Persians, and Darius is on the throne. And Darius appoints 120 advisors, his satraps. They're his royal advisors, civil servants of the day, people who are wise and educated, who've got the right background to be able to help him. And over the 120 are three administrators, and Daniel is one of them. So let's just divert for a moment and think about this righteous man, Daniel, and how things have worked for him. He's used his gifts to the greatest extent. He's distinguished himself to all the people that he's worked for. He's done incredibly well. Now, it's possible for lots of us to use our gifts well in this world and do well for ourselves and for other people. But Daniel does all of that without once compromising his position before God. God is always first. His absolute faithfulness to God, which includes praying to him 3 times a day. And the result is that at the start of this chapter, we find Daniel in yet another season of blessing, and things are wonderful. He's being blessed, but everyone else is being blessed around him as well. But because we now know these, the way the themes go in scripture, you know what's coming. Here's the reality check and the challenge for God's people. Despite his righteousness, he's about to face the downward slope of this roller coaster, and it's going to come hard and fast. His three, the administrators, his fellow administrators, the other two, are jealous of all of his success. So they concoct a plan to trick the king into outlawing prayer, which is going to be Daniel's downfall. And more than that, they use what they can to manipulate the circumstances to enforce their requirements. So they don't just suggest that the king might want to say this. They call on him to issue a decree. And because this is the land of the Medes and Persians, a decree in law is irrevocable. It cannot be turned around. So even when the king steps and walks straight into the trap, even though it is going to impact his trusted friend, Daniel, the one that he truly relies on, there's nothing that he can do about it, however fond he is of Daniel. I wonder whether for some of us, we sometimes feel like things are conspiring against us as we try to live our faith walk. It's almost like Christians are being invited to fall into a trap where other people are putting pressure on. And gradually, sometimes covertly, God's people can be tripped up. Sometimes even the law is changed. We end up paying a price. Now, I don't want to overstate this. Don't get me wrong, I'm not for a moment suggesting that the church in this country is suffering horrendously with persecution. I'm not. Compared to what folk are suffering who are standing for the Lord in North Korea or China, our lot is simple and easy. But maintaining a biblical stance is becoming harder for God's people today. Things change and standards slip, and sometimes it's just a subtle change here and there around the edges, and then laws change, and suddenly for God's people, it becomes more and more difficult for us to continue to make that faith walk. The things we're exposed to on television, the standards of violence and language that is part of what the world is quite happy and wants us to accept. It's becoming harder. And accusations of bigotry come to us. We're told to be that we're old-fashioned because standards are different. Standards of what makes family life, definitions of marriage, the importance of Sabbath, all of those things under such pressure. And I wonder whether they come at us subtly. There's an interesting couple of verses in this chapter that tell us something about the way Satan works to achieve his purpose, to undermine God's people. Did you notice as we were reading how his advisors worked? Let me read to you verses 6 and 7. Verse 6 says this: "So these chief ministers and satraps went as a group to the king and said, 'May King Darius live forever.'" First, it started with them coming together, a group of people who wanted what they wanted. They grouped together in numbers. And sometimes for us, that's how it feels at the moment, isn't it? Social media, TV presents a standard of what life should be, expectations of what you should give to everybody else but God on a Sunday. And the expectations are pumped at us in numbers. And then they use flattery, making Darius live forever. And then they say something that on the surface appears lovely and wonderful, that will be a blessing. How easy it is for us to hear things that sounds good, but there's more. It sounds lovely, it sounds harmless, but it contains a subtle lie. Did you notice? Verse 7, "The royal ministers, prefects, satraps, advisors, and governors have all agreed that the king should issue an edict." Except they hadn't all agreed. Sounds so good to the king, doesn't it? Oh, you've all agreed. Well, wonderful if everyone's unanimous. But of course, Daniel's voice, the voice of a godly man, was not there. They hadn't all agreed. Satan often works in this world through lies. Often things happen because of lies. The scripture refers to him as the deceiver. That's the business he's in, and he's really good at it. And we need to be on our guard. And the king falls for it, and he puts his foot right into the trap. We need to be wise as God's people. But as we're about to see, as we come through that roller coaster, God is in the business of turning things around. And I'm hoping you're beginning to spot the way these themes operate in scripture now, repeated across scripture. And it is a picture of the ultimate model of God's servant faithfully bringing about the kingdom of God in Jesus. Think about it. Daniel's future seems hopeless, bleak. There's nothing for him here. Surely this is a disaster, into the lion's den. Like Joseph, centuries before him, he is going to be lowered into the pit. Remember? Joseph, sold by his brothers, who didn't like what he was saying, didn't like the truths he often told. And these two lowered into the pit. Isn't that also a picture of what Jesus would experience for each of us? To be put down into the pit, the fiery pit. The righteous servant of the Lord cast into the pit to be devoured by lions. Do you remember what 1 Peter 5:8 says? Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. So Daniel is a picture here of Jesus going in to the lions, waiting to be devoured. But the good news, just like Jesus, Daniel wasn't abandoned to the pit. The Apostle Paul, when he was explaining who Jesus was and what he had done in chapter 13 of Acts, first missionary journey, he was explaining all of this, and he quoted from Psalm 16. these words, speaking of the Lord, you will not abandon me to the grave, nor will you let your faithful one see decay. And guess what? The next morning, the stone is rolled away, and Daniel is able to make that declaration, my God sent his angel, and he shut the mouths of the lions. That was verse 22. It looked dreadful. It looked hopeless. It looked like certain death. And in the presence of what looked like certain death, Daniel's actions pointed to the Lord, pointed to Jesus, the one sent by God, as he's rescued by the divine angel sent by God. Do you see the picture being painted? And we could end the story there at the end of a high. Things have been turned around. God has done what God does, and that would be wonderful. But at the start, I asked us to just think a little bit about whether we're content or expect to go through life, going through these downs. Remember, it is Daniel who's gone through these things. But for those who want a faith walk that is gravy and peas, peaches and cream, whatever it is for you, that makes life wonderful and simple and easy all of the time, just look to this message and notice that it is Daniel has been the one asked to go through the trial. It's not that God refuses to allow any of his people to ever suffer anything ill. It's not that God has been decided to just smite them all instantly with fire and brimstone. Daniel has to go through the trial, but what God does, he sends his divine angel to be there with him. That's what God does. He sends him to be in the pit with him. And sometimes our calling to serve God is not easy. Sometimes we face injustice and perhaps accusations, and maybe it will turn to persecution. That's the reality of a life that is offered in service for God. Sometimes he places us, like Daniel, in positions of influence. Unlikely, like Daniel, to be influencing a king, excuse me, or people who are world leaders. But it will be a place of influence for those you live with, for your spouse, for those of your family, for your children. There will be positions of influence that you're in the workplace, or that social setting where you gather with other people. You are the source of influence there, just like Daniel. And it may be that in just those situations, you may be asked to entail suffering, to stand for your faith. And for those who do that, for those who will not compromise in putting God first, this pattern of scripture will hold true for them. Do you realize? We are surrounded by lions, and you will be asked to compromise. And you know what? It may seem harmless. It might even seem like the kind, nice thing to do. But if it comes ahead of God in any way, you need to challenge it. Beware the subtle lie that disguises the faith-diverting, faith-distracting, faith-breaking intentions of the enemy in this world. And it will require a spirit-filled wisdom, just like Daniel. And you might even get thrown into the lion's den if you're not prepared to adopt the world's standards. But know this, wherever we are called to serve and stand for God and for truth, however impossible and painful the threat may be, God will be right there with you. And the wonderful thing about the kingdom of God is that all the time, God is working his kingdom principles out, and people will witness your stance, and God will be given the glory. Whether it sounds like it, or even whether the words of the person sometimes say it or not. And you never know who's listening or watching. And in this case, it's Darius who observed all of this and was able to declare, as his faith was given a boost, the God of Daniel is the living God and he endures forever. His kingdom will not be destroyed. His dominion will never end. He rescues and he saves. He performs signs and wonders in the heavens and on the earth. Sometimes the Christian life is steak Diane and a glass of claret, maybe followed by ice cream and who knows whatever else is your particular thing. And it might be in the setting of a palace. It may be at the side of a wonderful, calm lake with mountain views in the distance. Why am I not on holiday? Anyway, it might be all of that. But it might be a very different scenario. Sometimes we're asked to be in the lion's den. But no matter what the season, he will be there with you and he will give you the resources to stand. Because that's what a humble, faithful servant does. And there's a question that goes with all of this. Wherever God wants to take you and your relationships, and your family, and your life, are you prepared to go where God wants to take you? Let's pray.